Welcome to the Cancer Care Connect workshop. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the workshop, you will hear from our panel of expert speakers. We will allow time for questions and comments following the presentation. Instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the workshop, please press star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this workshop is being recorded. I would like to introduce your moderator for today's workshop, Dr. Carolyn Messner, Senior Director of Education and Training at Cancer Care. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much, Bella. And I, too, would like to welcome everyone to today's Cancer Care Connect Education Workshop, updates on the treatment of tenosynovial giant cell tumor, or TGCT. And today's program is supported by EMD Serrano, and I really want to thank them for their support of this very important program. Now, before I introduce our speaker today, I'd like to let you know that we have over 81 participants on the call today, and you come from all over the United States, from both urban, rural, suburban, and frontier communities, and we also have international participants from Canada and the United Kingdom. So it's a global call as well, and it's a credit to all of you that you've chosen to spend this next hour with us discussing TGCT. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our first speaker. And our first speaker is Dr. Jonathan Trent, and Dr. Trent is an MD, PhD. He's Professor of Medicine, Associate Director of Clinical Research, Director of Precision Medicine, Leader of Sarcoma Site Disease Group, Department of Medicine, Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center, Miller School of Medicine, University of Miami. And Dr. Trent will be addressing the following topics: overview of tenosynovial giant cell tumors, discussion of growth patterns and locations, why TGCT may often be treated in sarcoma centers, TGCT pathophysiology, diagnosis and treatment, current standard of treatment, the efficacy of emerging treatment in managing this disease, the treatment approaches, new treatment approaches, the important role of clinical trials, how research contributes to your treatment options, and key questions to ask when communicating with your healthcare team. It is my great pleasure now to turn this program over to my esteemed colleague, Dr. Trent.
Thank you for the kind introduction, Dr. Messner. So I'd like to talk a little bit today about a rare type of tumor called tenosynovial giant cell tumor. So what is tenosynovial giant cell tumor? Well, we call it TGCT as an abbreviation. And it is a very rare non-cancerous growth that arises in the tissue lining the joints, the fluid-filled sacs that cushion the joints, and also in the tendons that connect joints to muscles. It used to be called pigmented villonodular synovitis, or PVNS, or some even called it giant cell tumor of the tendon sheath, depending on, you know, how and where it was located. Nonetheless, TGCT is locally aggressive, meaning it can grow, it can damage the joint and nearby tissue. But remember, it's not a malignant cancer. It does not spread to distant organs. Some symptoms that a patient might develop that could be a key to the diagnosis is joint swelling and pain, stiffness and reduced range of motion, tenderness or sensitivity around the joint, sometimes locking or catching of the joint in movement. TGCT most often affects adults between the ages of 30 and 50, with some younger or older people also affected. TGCT is very rare, remember. In the United States, there are somewhere around a million people diagnosed with some type of cancer each year. If you include squamous cell carcinoma of the skin, basal cell carcinoma of the skin, it could be as high as 2 million people per year. For instance, to put it in perspective, one of the more common cancers is women with breast carcinoma. These women, there may be around 300,000 women diagnosed each year with that diagnosis. So TGCT is not anywhere near that common. It's probably in the range of maybe like 1 to 4 cases per million people per year. So that may be around 300,000. I'm sorry, that may be around 300 individuals. Maybe unlikely, but maybe as many as 500 individuals diagnosed each year in the United States. So it is a very rare cancer. There is a slight predominance of diagnosis in women. And patients can have two types of TGCT, basically. There can be the diffuse type, which involves more of the joint lining. It spreads across the lining. Or patients may be diagnosed with the nodular type, where it's a nodule is specifically growing in one area. It's also called the localized form of TGCT because it's only growing in one small area of the joint. Nonetheless, a patient may present with joint swelling, pain, stiffness, or limited movement that doesn't resolve with any type of treatment, such as rest, ice, analgesics, such as ibuprofen or acetaminophen, but it doesn't get better. So the patient then might go to see their primary care physician. They might go to an emergency room, depending on how bad it is. They might end up referred to an orthopedic surgeon because it's a joint. And so the first thing that is often done is an MRI, magnetic resonance imaging. And it's usually one of the better imaging tests for TGCT. It's much better than a plain X-ray. It's much better than a CT scan or an ultrasound because it can show the extent and pattern of the growth and can even distinguish sometimes TGCT from other pathology that may affect the joints, such as arthritis, cysts, infections, or other soft tissue masses. Ultimately, though, at the end of the day, a biopsy has to be performed. You cannot treat patients that have a tumor with a medicine until you have proof of a tissue diagnosis. And so this biopsies are often done by orthopedic surgeons, sometimes interventional radiologists, and then that tissue is sent to pathology, and the pathologist will process it for looking at under the microscope. They'll look at for instance, they'll look at what's called the H&E, basically just looking at the structure of the tissue. But then they'll also maybe do some special stains, even sometimes a molecular test to confirm the diagnosis. TGCT is caused by overproduction of a signaling protein called colony stimulating factor 1, or CSF1. A very small percentage of the tumor cells produce CSF1, which attracts immune cells like macrophage that express the CSF1 receptor. And this creates a tumor environment of inflammatory and proliferating cells that form the mass and cause the symptoms. Because of this mechanism, therapies that can block the CSF1 receptor can result in shrinking the tumor and improving the symptoms, especially for patients who are unable or choose not to undergo surgery. Speaking of which, traditional treatment historically for TGCT has been surgery to remove the tumor, and this has been considered the standard treatment. And that's a reasonable treatment for the localized or nodular variant of TGCT. However, some patients have what we call diffuse TGCT, where the joint is affected broadly. And it's very hard to remove the tumor completely in the setting of diffuse TGCT. And when historically, when surgery has been done for diffuse type TGCT, the local recurrence rate is very high after surgery, unacceptably high. And so many surgeons now are referring patients with diffuse TGCT to us in medical oncology, and we can make some decisions about treatment, watchful waiting, et cetera. Watchful waiting is very reasonable in select patients, especially patients that have minimal symptoms and patients who surgery could do harm. And so we do that sometimes, but then we also discuss systemic drugs. And there's never been any chemotherapy or immunotherapy that's been effective against TGCT. The only effective treatment that has been discovered, and this has been discovered in the last 10 years, are systemic drugs that target the CSF1 receptor, colony-stimulating factor 1 receptor. Because TGCT is driven by CSF1, CSF1 receptor signaling, drugs that block this pathway have now been developed. These are oral medicines, in other words, taken by mouth. And I'll discuss some of these in the next few minutes. The first medicine is called pexidartinib. We call it Pexi. And so pexidartinib is one of the first approved oral CSF1 inhibitors for patients with TGCT that is symptomatic and is not easily treated with surgery. It was approved in the United States by our Food and Drug Administration in 2019. This approval resulted from a clinical trial called Enliven, and this was a phase 3 randomized trial which tested pexidartinib versus a placebo in patients with TGCT. Patients treated with pexidartinib were more likely to have their tumor shrink about 38 to 39% of the time compared to the placebo group. Range of motion also improved in patients, and other physical function improved in patients treated with pexidartinib. Importantly, pexidartinib was found to be safe in terms of side effects. The one side effect that was observed in a very small number of patients was some increase in enzymes on a blood test that suggested perhaps there might be a little liver toxicity, or the liver might be damaged a little bit by pexidartinib. So when we prescribe it under a program mandated by the FDA to keep a close eye on patients and their liver function when we start treating them with pexidartinib. And that program's been very successful. We haven't seen any major problems with liver toxicity. So at the end of the day, pexidartinib was the first medicine that changed how TGCT patients could be treated with a medicine, especially those who were not good surgical candidates or didn't want to undergo surgery, often like a knee replacement. And this medicine offered tumor shrinkage and symptom improvement, but did require and still requires close monitoring for liver side effects. The second medicine that we studied in patients with TGCT is called vimseltinib, or VIM. VIM is another oral medicine that binds to the CSF1 receptor and blocks its function. And it has a high selectivity for CSF1 receptor. The promise of this agent led to a clinical trial called MOTION. MOTION was a phase 3 randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study, and at about 25 weeks of treatment, patients had about the same amount of tumor shrinkage as pexidartinib. They also saw improvement in range of motion, decrease in pain, and improved physical function. And many of these patients continued to benefit from this medicine for many years, even. So vimseltinib was found to be safe with a little bit of swelling, a little bit of edema, some rash, and some laboratory changes, with less evidence of liver damage than what was seen with pexidartinib. So the U.S. FDA approved vimseltinib in 2025 for adults with symptomatic TGCT where surgery could worsen function or cause morbidity. Ultimately, vimseltinib provides a new systemic option with encouraging efficacy and potentially more favorable safety profile for patients requiring non-surgical treatment. The third and last agent that has been studied for patients with TGCT is called pimicotinib. And this is another oral CSF1 receptor inhibitor, and it's designed to block the same pathway, and it may provide stronger efficacy and better tolerability. This ongoing clinical trial is called MANEUVER, and MANEUVER compares pimicotinib with placebo in patients with TGCT not amenable to surgery. The primary results showed somewhere around 60% of patients' tumor shrinking, which is higher than what was seen with the prior two agents. Secondary outcomes showed improvement in pain, stiffness, range of motion, and physical function. Longer-term data is needed to ensure reproducibility from all of these agents and safety, and with pimicotinib, no significant liver toxicity was seen, and it was very well tolerated. So if FDA approved, pimicotinib could become a leading systemic therapy with perhaps even better response rates than our other agents and symptomatic benefit, which is important in patients with TGCT since it is not a malignant cancer. So TGCT is a rare cancer. It's not a malignant cancer. It's a rare condition that can affect joint function and the quality of life, despite being non-cancerous. So it's not a malignant cancer. It doesn't spread to other organs. But it is a real cancer, and its diagnosis requires imaging with an MRI as well as a biopsy to confirm the diagnosis. Traditional treatment has been surgery, which can be curative at times. However, in the knee, a patient with diffuse TGCT will require a complete knee replacement. And these last anywhere from 5 to 10 years. And so a younger individual would not want to undergo a knee replacement in their 20s or 30s because they're going to have that surgery maybe like every 5 or 10 years to improve and replace parts on the artificial knee. So knee surgery and other joint surgery, hip surgery, other areas can lead to morbidity such as recurrence, falls, difficulty walking, and multiple joint replacements. So that's the impetus behind developing systemic targeted therapies that can block the CSF1 receptor. And we're lucky today to have pexidartinib as well as vimseltinib and pimicotinib as non-surgical options that can shrink the tumors and improve patients' symptoms. Vimseltinib and pexidartinib are both FDA approved and are available for treatment. While pimicotinib looks promising with high response rates, but we're waiting on regulatory entity approval throughout the U.S. and Europe and world. So that's all I had to say today about TGCT. It's a rare cancer, and it has different forms that may be challenging to diagnosis, be challenging to make surgical determinations, and also when to implement targeted therapies such as those we discussed today. We therefore recommend that any patient with an unusual looking tumor in bone or a patient who has a diagnosis of TGCT get a formal consult at a multidisciplinary sarcoma center that is experienced with TGCT. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Trent. That was really an outstanding, stellar presentation, and you really have given our participants so much information about TGCT. And now we are going to move on to the Q&A. I'm going to ask Bella to explain to people how to queue up for questions. Bella? And actually, before we move on to the Q&A, I just want to say a few words about Cancer Care's free national programs and services and a bit about our helpline and website as well as a resource for all of you. So Cancer Care is a national organization, and we provide free programs and services for people living with including tenosynovial giant cell tumors. So we do offer practical and financial assistance. We do offer online support groups. We do offer navigation services to help you find resources that you might need. We also offer a number of different supportive programs for you. So you can call our HOPE line in the United States at 1-800-813-4673 or visit our website at www.cancercare.org. And now we will move on to the Q&A, and I'm going to ask Bella to explain to you how to queue up for questions. Bella?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will take questions from the web only. You may submit questions by clicking Ask a Question.
Okay, so we have, our first question for Dr. Trent is, how is it determined if a tumor poses enough risk to pursue surgery?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And so surgery is generally limited to patients that have a localized or nodular TGCT that can be removed with a negative margin. That's the general principle. A margin of normal tissue has to be removed at the time of surgery so as not to spill tumor cells in the joint. If it's localized and this can be done, then surgery is recommended across the board. However, if it's a large tumor and there's some risk of rupture, or it's the diffuse type where it's taking up the entire joint, surgery is not encouraged, but medical therapy is recommended instead. With the one caveat that in that situation, one could also delay surgery using a watch and wait approach and treat. I have some patients that we treat symptomatically, and they're just not, their tumor is growing so slow that they're not They're not in need of systemic therapy or surgery. That's pretty rare, but it can happen.
Excellent. Thank you. And what are the side effects of radiation for TGCT?
Radiation is generally not recommended for TGCT. The problem with radiation, there's several limitations with radiation. One is that radiated tissue is at risk for becoming cancerous. There could, when the bone is radiated, the patient is then at risk for a radiation-associated osteosarcoma, fibrosarcoma, or angiosarcoma. Number two, radiation can damage the joint tissue by killing the synovial cells that make the lubrication for the joint to function. If the synovial cells are damaged by the radiation, then there won't be any fluid in the joint, and the joint won't be able to move without severe pain. And third, radiation can also interfere with the ability of surgical procedures, even joint replacement, but oftentimes non-joint replacement surgeries could, healing could be limited by radiation therapy.
Well, thank you so much. And another question, can a TGCT tumor turn malignant?
That's a very good question. In fact, it's an ongoing research project right now, and the exact rate of transformation from TGCT to a malignant tumor is not known. It is thought to be very rare, but there are cases of TGCT that can become malignant. It's a very low number, less than 1%, much less than even 1% of all patients. But it has been reported and described, and at Sylvester, we're doing a research project to better understand the probabilities.
Excellent. So certainly an excellent center that's really researching this very carefully. Is surgery considered curative for some cases? How common is recurrence?
Surgery can be curative for smaller localized nodular TGCT. In that situation, after surgery, we would monitor the patient with MRI every 3 to 6 months for the first 5 years and then annually after that. If it's a larger tumor or a diffuse tumor, and the patient undergoes surgery, then the risk of recurrence, local recurrence in the joint is much higher. And we would monitor the patient closer every 3 months, or we may even need to initiate therapy with a CSF1 receptor inhibitor.
Thank you. And can TGCT spread at all?
The common TGCT, whether it's diffuse or localized, doesn't spread. Only the rare situation where a TGCT transforms to a malignant tumor can it spread. But again, that's very rare.
And is there a preference for treatment, for example, surgery versus targeted therapy?
For patients that have diffuse type, the general recommendation is targeted therapy. If it's a localized small tumor that can be resected with a negative margin, then the patient could be cured with surgery alone.
Excellent. How often should I expect to follow up with my doctor after resection?
Generally every 3 to 6 months for the first year, and then once a year after that.
And then are there specialists that patients can go to for chronic pain?
Yeah, so if a patient is having chronic pain, not being managed by over-the-counter medicines, we generally refer the patient to our supportive care and or our pain service, chronic pain service that can help manage pain in this situation.
And can you describe some of the people on that chronic pain who can help, who those specialists are who manage that chronic pain?
Yeah, the specialists would be supportive and palliative care physicians that are trained, fellowship trained in those disciplines. and they work closely with anesthesiologists and interventional therapists.
Excellent, thank you. And can physical therapy play a role in care?
Yeah, definitely, especially after surgery.
And what are some of the common side effects of medication that patients may be given for TGCT?
The common medicines are pexidartinib and vimseltinib. A new medicine, pimicotinib, looks promising, but it's not FDA approved yet. Older medicines that are weak CSF1 receptor inhibitors, such as imatinib, sunitinib, they've been used. Nilotinib has been used, but they're not FDA approved.
And should I take a medicine-targeted therapy?
Yes, definitely.
And are the targeted therapies, do they have a specific name or?
Yeah, pexidartinib and vimseltinib are the two targeted therapies that are FDA approved. There are some others that can have some activity, but they're not FDA approved.
And what causes TGCT?
TGCT is caused by a translocation between two different parts of DNA called genes. When that translocation parts occurs, some DNA from one of area of your chromosome breaks off and connects to a different part of a different chromosome. That leads to putting the collagen promoter, which tells the DNA to make RNA to make protein, in front of CSF1. And so in these cartilaginous tissues, when this takes place, there's overproduction of CSF1. And some cells in the tumor express the CSF1 receptor, and some inflammatory cells do too. We don't, and that's what causes the TGCT, and that's why the inhibitors of CSF1 receptor are so effective with very nice response rates. However, we still today don't know what causes that translocation to take place. We don't know what gets it all started.
And could you say a bit about what centers specialize in treating TGCT?
Yeah, I mentioned that TGCT is a rare type of cancer, and it takes expertise from orthopedic surgeons, medical oncologists, pathologists to make the diagnosis, as well as radiologists to help us read the MRIs, and molecular pathologists to diagnose the CSF1 collagen translocation. This level of expertise for this rare cancer is not found at that many places in the United States, and so there are centers in New York and Houston and Boston, on the West Coast, and then our center, Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center in Miami. And I generally recommend patients to get a second opinion with any type of rare disease.
Excellent. And are there any questions that we didn't ask that you think people might be wondering about or might be concerned about?
I just make one comment, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And that is that these medicines have side effects, and the cancer's rare, and experience with the medicines are rare. So if you're getting a side effect you don't understand, make sure you reach out to your doctor. Make sure they're aware of the side effects and help you manage them. And if your doctor is not experienced with these medicines, then don't hesitate to ask that they call a TGCT expert, because we're always happy to share our experience on side effect management. This can be a chronic disease, and so patients will be on these medicines for many years. So as a healthcare provider, part of my job is to make sure that the quality of life is there and that we're managing side effects in a way that optimizes quality of life.
And also, can physical therapy play a role in care?
Definitely. Physical therapy is an important role, especially after surgery.
So the question I'm asking, to, if you would please repeat what you mentioned about knee replacement, what does recovery look like?
Recovery can take a few weeks or even months from a knee replacement. The problem is that a knee, an artificial metal knee, has a finite lifespan and will need to be replaced possibly every 10 years, which means another surgery and another recovery.
So is it something that is at times recommended, even though it does require every 10 years being replaced?
Yeah, sometimes. We generally don't recommend it unless it's absolutely necessary, such as a large localized or a diffuse type TGCT. Small localized nodular TGCT, surgery can be formed without knee replacement. So yes, we try to avoid knee replacement when possible.
How does one know if they are a good candidate for our clinical trials?
Yeah, that would really entail visiting one of the centers that's experienced with TGCT, meeting with a multidisciplinary team of a medical oncologist and an orthopedic surgeon, and identifying the best treatment possible for an individual patient, which may and often is a clinical trial, but not always.
Can other cancers cause TGCT?
No.
And are there clinical trials that are currently examining side effect management?
Yeah, side effect management is very important.
And can patients develop drug resistance?
Yeah, we haven't really seen much of drug resistance with the drugs used to treat TGCT, even though patients do take holidays and may not take the drug continuously. We have not seen substantial resistance to these medicines.
And also, we always ask that our physicians provide takeaway, or if there's any questions that we haven't asked that you think are important to consider.
Yeah, I think make sure that your TGCT oncologist doctor is experienced.
And then do you want to provide sort of a minute, maybe a few minute takeaway of what you'd like people to take away from today's program?
Yeah, so TGCT is a rare cancer. I encourage all patients to seek out a center of excellence and don't hesitate to get a second opinion if you want to. It's your prerogative. TGCT can be managed by surgery in the right situation, but sometimes it's best managed with targeted therapy. This decision is best made by discussion at a sarcoma center, bone and soft tissue experience center, with multidisciplinary discussion between surgeon and medical oncologist to optimize the therapy so that the patient has the best possible outcome.
And in terms of a further takeaway, any other takeaways that you'd like people to have from today's program?
I think that's the main thing. Make sure a sarcoma experienced pathologist reviews the tissue so that you have the right diagnosis.
So that's really important. And do you want to say something about the role of the pathologist? Because that comes up in almost every program we do.
Yeah, the pathology in TGCT is very important. In TGCT and other sarcomas, inexperienced pathologists make the wrong diagnosis 25 to 30% of the time.
So you really need to go to an experienced center that treats people with TGCT, even though it's rare.
Yeah.
And there are only a few of them throughout the country. So we will send to all of our participants today the names of the institutions that you recommended so that we're sure. And if you could repeat those names again of where those centers of excellence are for treating TCT.
New York, Boston, Houston, and University of Miami Sylvester Cancer Center in Miami.
So is it MD Anderson in Texas? And what about the other ones? What are the names of the other ones?
Yeah, Mass General in Boston and Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York.
So those would be the four places. And also someone's asking, can you comment on telehealth visits for seeking a second opinion, especially for patients who live far away from the center?
Yeah, definitely. We definitely do a lot of telehealth visits and encourage it. If the patient needs to be examined or looked at, then the telehealth may not be the best option. But for many of the treatments and many of the assessments that we do, telehealth is fine.
And can you request a second opinion on your pathologist report, on your pathology report?
Yeah, definitely.
And actually at one of the major centers, what would you send them?
The pathologists usually need to see some material,
mm-hmm.
such as the slides or the tissue blocks.
And there, I know on all the programs that we do, the pathologist is really critically important in making the correct diagnosis always.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Trent, for actually such a superb presentation. I think that you really just did an outstanding job in making our audience much more aware of any questions they may have about TGCT, and we will be sure to send them the names of the institutions in the country, the four that you mentioned that are the Centers of Excellence for TGCT. And I can't thank you enough for your outstanding presentation. And do you want to provide a takeaway for people, that what you'd like them to take away from today's program?
Yeah, make sure that you get evaluated at a multidisciplinary center that has expert pathology, orthopedic oncology, and medical oncology.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for that wonderful presentation, really, and answering so many questions. Have a wonderful day. I'm just going to just remind everyone that you can contact Cancer Care for help and support. We do have a HOPE line, 800-813-4673, and you can contact our staff there, and they can certainly be of help to you in terms of any support that you might need, or patient navigation, or online support groups, or our workshops that we have many of, and financial assistance and practical assistance. So please do contact us at 1-800-813-4673 or visit our website at www.cancercare.org. Again, I want to thank you all for your participation today, and I want to wish you all a very fine day. Thank you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes the workshop, and you may now disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.